see. All right, we on there? One, two, three. All right, grab a seat. We're going to get started. Let's go. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Grab a seat, sit down. Let me consult this real quick. I enjoy, listen up. Here we go. Come on. We only got so much time, so little time. I'm excited to be here. It's good to be here. I want to do something to start off. Normally when I go, if I go preach CB Chapel or if I go preach, what's the other place? HB. I didn't forget you. I wasn't saying that. If we go preach HB Chapel, normally I'll bring something to give away in chapel. And so some of you thought this was from your dorm room. It's not. Don't worry. But I'm going to give you the top five cereals. Top five. Now, if you agree with me, that's okay. If you don't agree with me, it's okay to be wrong too. There's no problem with that. But I'm going to give you the top five, and I'm going to give them away. They are family size. So, you know, benefits, right? All right. Coming in, I'm sorry if I screeched there, Joel. Forgive me. Coming in at number five. All time, top all time, okay? Lucky Charms. Okay? We're talking top five, okay? If I was to choose, if I walked into Walmart and said I would like a number five, this is what they'd give me. And let me tell you, I am a cereal killer, connoisseur. And I love cereal. So if I have a, Brother Francis, have you ever had a bad day in ministry? Brother King, have you ever had a bad day in ministry?
No.
Oh, okay, Brother, he's lying, it's okay. Brother Aaron, have you ever had a bad day in ministry? I've had tough days. When I go home, I like to warm up and feel cozy with a bowl of cereal. Okay, this will help you solve your problems, okay? All right, number five. Miss Leslie, you wanted to give this one away to who? Lisa Abari, where are you at? All right, Gerson, give this to her. Thank you. Number four. I'm sorry. Top five. If you agree, that's fine. If you don't, it's fine. Number four, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Okay, number four. Not incredible, but it's okay. It's okay. Brother Aaron, who do you got? Brother Eggers? Jordan Lovett. All right, here you go. Oh, it's okay. In Chicago, we're used to that. All right. Okay, how many of you are healthy? Okay, never mind. All right. Okay, this is, if I go on a diet, we're not going to talk about the sugar content, but if I was to go on a diet and I was like, you know what, I need a cereal for this diet, vanilla Honey Bunches of Oats. Okay? Brother King, who do you got? Jacob Martinez? JJ Martinez, where are you at? All right, Mr. Mahaffey, catch this for JJ. I don't want to, there you go. We're going right. Okay. That's number three. Number two. You got the... Never mind. I'm not going to throw my wife under the bus. Same thing, different deal. Number two, Captain Crunch. Okay. Flavor. This is the only one that's legitimate to its name. Crunch. Okay. And it scrapes the top of your mouth. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right, let's see here. Sam Henry, where are you at? Sam Henry. All right. All time. Oh, wait, honorable mention. Honorable mention from my wife. I don't know why she picked this, but apparently she likes this. Oreos? Oreos? All right, I'm going to save this one for my wife because she bought it. All right, number one, sir, if I go home, you will find this in my cabinet. Actually, you will find three boxes in my cabinet. But it's because I'm not addicted. I just like it. Addiction's become a bad word in our culture. It doesn't have to be negative, okay? All right, here we go. Number one. All right, let's see here. You want it? All right, come get it. Here we go. Share this with your friends and family to gain respect and a date. There you go. All right. Genesis 37. Here we go. I just wanted to have some fun. I hope that you like that. Maybe every time I'll come preach, we'll do a top five. How about that? I was thinking, should we do top five soda or top five cereal? And I was like, cereal be less offensive. You know? Some of you I know, you don't like sugar. Don't eat cereal. It's good to be here. Always grateful for the opportunity. Genesis 37. Appreciate my wife picking those up. I did staff meeting at the church this morning. Then I ran to, was on the radio for an hour with the girls home and with some other folks that called in. And then ran over here. And so she went and picked those up. So I appreciate that. I gave her the list of the top five, even though she didn't agree. All right, Genesis 37. Look at verse 1. Here we go. And Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, with the lad, with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a what? Coat of many colors. Growing up, I don't know about you, but growing up, we had children's books. We had these books called Archie books. I don't know if they're still around, but Archie books makes a Bible series, and they're probably about 400 or 500 books in the, whatever you call it, catalog. And so we had them really thin, and we had them in our shelf by my bunk bed when I was growing up. And Joseph, you look up Joseph, any coloring book, or you look up any books written, children's books written about Joseph, it's always Joseph and the coat of many colors, right? And Joseph had a coat, and it had a lot of color. And his dad gave it to him because he loved him more than all his brothers. Was that right or wrong? Wrong, of course. But the fact remains that Jacob loved him more. Joseph's mom was Rachel, and Benjamin, their mom was Rachel, and then the rest were from Leah. But here, the Bible says that he loved him more than all his brethren. He just did. Him and his mom, they loved him. Look at verse, and he gave him a coat, and we're going to talk about that. Look at Genesis, the same chapter, look at verse 22. Reuben said unto him, shed no blood. This is Genesis 37, 22. Reuben said unto him, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that we might rid him out of our father's hands, deliver him to his father again. Verse 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they what? Stripped Joseph out of his coat. His coat of? That was on him. And they threw him in the pit. Skip down to verse 30. Same chapter. The Bible says this, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's what? And killed a kid of the goats and dipped the what? In the blood. And look at verse 34. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. In Genesis 39, verse 12, is the story of Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was the captain of the guard to Pharaoh. And his wife accused Joseph of being inappropriate. And before that instance went away, Joseph left a piece of his garment in her hand. A lot of us would think that, and I love the story of Joseph. I've heard preachers preach on Joseph, and they say, you know, Joseph probably shouldn't have told his dreams. And I understand what they're saying. I personally think that It was ordained of God for Joseph to tell his dream. I think that's the case. Every time that it happens after that, God uses it mightily, whether it's the baker and the butler, whether it's Pharaoh himself. What started in Genesis 37 with Joseph telling the dream, God used that over and over again. And I find it hard to believe that God would have given Joseph a dream and be an interpreter of the dreams. Joseph said to Pharaoh, only interpretations belong to who? God. And so we find this story that Joseph has this coat of many colors, but I want you to know something. Joseph's, and this is a little bit of the message, but Joseph's identity was not found in his coat. Now, some of us may think, okay, that's an interesting statement, but think about this. You have people look at you on the outside, and every time that Joseph's brethren saw Joseph wearing that coat, they hated it. It showed favoritism from daddy and mommy to JoJo. Okay? So every time they looked at him, they hated it. And the Bible says they hated him so much they couldn't even speak peaceably unto him. Joseph went out to find them. He went down to Dothan. They were there in Dothan. I don't know if they were messing. I don't know if the Bible says that Joseph brought an evil report back. So whether they were messing around or what, but he went, goes down there. They say, hey, you know, let's kill him. Talk about kind brothers. Let's kill him. Reuben stands up for him. Says, hey, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. It's actually kind of interesting. If you read your Bible, Joseph's brothers sell him to the Midianites who sell him to the Ishmaelites. So it's not even like, it's like a third-party contract going on here. I don't know if they wanted to be non-associated with them or what, but the Bible says the Midianites took him out of the pit and the Midianites sold him to the Ishmaelites. So at some point, they knew the Ishmaelites were coming down, but the Midianites were coming down as well. So they sold him, put him in the pit, sold him to the Midianites. The Midianites took Joseph, took him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites, and took him down to Egypt. But Joseph's identity was not found in his coat. People think what you are sometimes is based on what other people think about you. Okay, that's a little deep. It's not necessarily what Brother Aaron thinks about me, but it's what Brother King thinks about Brother Eggers that thinks about me. It's taking testimony a little step further. Because everybody's watching and everybody thought that maybe once we get that coat off, that's going to change who he was. Joseph's character didn't change because of the outside circumstance. Okay, the way Joseph was raised and all that he had to do, I'm just going to mention a couple things here. But his brothers, prison, favoritism, being sold, taken from his home, living in a foreign culture, living in a sinful culture, becoming the king, being a ruler, none of those things changed who Joseph was on the inside. Throughout the whole story, we find the famous phrase, and the Lord was with Joseph. And so Joseph's character did not change. Who Joseph was on the inside stayed the same. What Jacob and Leah and Rachel invested in Joseph, his character stayed the same. And so I think that there's something that we can learn from that thought of a costly coat. So the first thought is this. I'll be quick today. Number one, Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. People on the outside thought Joseph was one thing, and I think Joseph appreciated the love and the favoritism. I'm not saying he didn't, but that is not who Joseph was on the inside. I don't think you can say that. By looking at the story, I don't think you can say Joseph was wrapped up in trying to show his brothers what was what. Bow down to me. You're going to bow down to me, dad, mom. I don't think that was the case. I don't think it came off his pride. I think he was just trying to tell his dream that God gave him. And that's what happened. But his brothers hated him for it. They could have helped him, but they hated him for it. And so we find the circumstance that he lost his coat, but he kept his character. When things outside my life, things outside your life change, do you change on the inside? Is your character changing? You know, be careful who you hang around, because who you hang around changes who you are. What you allow to influence you changes who you are. The podcast you listen to, the people that you hang around with, you fill in the blank. But eventually, those things are going to change who you are on the inside. That's why we say, be careful. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful with the music you have. Be careful with the preachers that you listen to. Be careful the things you watch on YouTube. Be careful all these different things. Why? Because what is on the outside comes in and it changes who you are. May not be the first time, may not be the second time, may not be the third time, may not be the fourth time, but it will change who you are. I admire Joseph. He didn't allow, I'll mention those things again, but if you think about those, prison didn't change who Joseph was. Didn't change his character. He was still a servant. Keeper of the prison had no idea what was going on. Everything that happened, Job did it, and the Bible says the Lord made it to prosper. Think about his brothers. He had to deal with 11 of the, and if Benjamin was born by then, 11 of the 12 of the these brothers that were trying to get after him. They hated the favoritism. Being sold, being taken from home, living in a foreign culture, living in a sinful culture. None of these things changed who Joseph was. I have just some quotes on character. D.L. Moody said, character is what you are in the dark. That's a good quote to memorize. Character is what you are in the dark. I put this one down, but be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Character is what you really are, while reputation is merely what others think you are. And I thought that was good. I'll read it one more time. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. You can put up a front. You can put up a good reputation and have terrible character. But you can't have good character and have bad reputation. Have good character. I didn't say perfect, but aim for consistency in your character. The stronger your consistency, the stronger your character. The more consistent you are as a Christian, the stronger of character you'll have. That's why we push for consistency. Rules push for consistency. Because with consistency comes character. Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. Character, I think, of purity, honesty, just, being fair, being real, being truthful, being hardworking, being diligent, being obedient. Characteristics, being patient. Men of character in the Bible, I think of Daniel, I think of Samuel, I think of Elijah, I think of Elisha. These men weren't perfect men, but they had character. Character, I think sometimes I just think character is doing what needs to be done when nobody else wants to do it. That's why I like a good definition of character in my mind. I'll do it if nobody else wants to do it. We'll get it done. That's what character says. How's your character? He lost his coat, but he's kept his character. If the things in your life that are happening on the outside change who you are on the inside, you have weak character. You hear me? If so-and-so breaks up with you and it ruins the rest of your semester, weak character. Who ultimately should we be patterning our lives after? Christ. Jesus is the most consistent example you'll ever find in your Bible. Jesus had some character. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. Number two. Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his convictions. Look at verse 9 of chapter 39. There is none greater, this is after Potiphar's, this is him speaking to Potiphar's wife, there is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. You got to remember, Joseph's living in a wicked culture. Immorality runs rampant in Egypt. So for Potiphar to try and get with Joseph, it wasn't anything out of the normal for that culture. But there are some things that Joseph believed that maybe his mom and his dad had taught him. Maybe some things in Judaism that was taught to him. There were principles that were given to him that said, this is wrong. I'm not going to do that. It's not just against my character as a person, but it's against what I believe. I have a quote here about convictions. Conviction is a strong and passionate belief, but a conviction is a strongly held and firmly established opinion or belief, often implying a deep certainty and unwavering commitment to that idea, where someone, is fully convinced of its truth without much needed for further proof. Essentially, a belief that strongly guides one's actions and decisions. A conviction. Joseph understood that it was wrong for him to sleep with Potiphar's wife. Because his dad wouldn't approve? No, it's because, how can I do this great witness and sin against God? So everything, his morality was comparing it to God, to the law. Exodus. Okay, we have commandments, we have rules, we have convictions, we have things that we believe because it keeps us safe. Convictions, I think, a lot of times are put in a bad light, but rules and convictions aren't bad. Hear me. They're not bad. Everybody complains about the rules, trying to follow the rules, but the rules protect you. The rules bring you freedom within the bounds. Oh, there's too many rules at college. There's too many rules in Christianity. You're not going to go to a place where there's not going to be rules. You go to work, there's going to be rules. Don't stick your hand underneath the saw. Well, I don't like that rule. Come on. There's lots of rules. Hey, come on. That's throwing Brother King under the bus. Come on. They're quicker than me on that one. Bless God. There's rules and guidelines for a reason. Don't disobey the rules. If you believe something, then believe it and don't change it. We don't need to change. I don't understand. Jeremiah 5:5 says, I will get me under the great men. Proverbs chapter 23 says this, remove not the ancient landmark. I'm going to be honest with you. My generation seems like it's been struggling with following rules. Seems like it's struggling with following all, whatever, whether it's the King James Bible, you fill in the blank, but everybody wants to bring up an argument. I don't understand. To me, I look at it and say, if it works, it works. Why change it? If God's still saving sinners, and he is, if God's still answering prayer, and he does, then why am I going to change what I believe? If God's still on the throne, why? I mean, those people haven't proven anything. There's no product. In fact, they come to us for the product. They want the soul winners. They're not going to somewhere else. They're coming here. They want people who have character and consistency and have convictions and believe something. They're not going to whatever university. They're coming to Hiles Anderson. Because they want people that are productive. They want people who believe something. They want people who have standards and convictions, who go soul winning, who reach people with the gospel. That's why they come here. They can't produce it themselves, and they won't. It's a challenge. Figure out what you believe and stick with it. Don't change. Don't change. And I say that as somebody who's only a few years down the road from you, but I also want to be in Brother Francis' seat one day and sit there and say, I didn't change. But between here and there, not that you're old, but between here and there, I want there to be consistency and I want there to be character. I want to stay faithful. And so I have to, none of these decisions are made there. They're made there. Sometimes it's kind of crazy. And I'm all for an older senior pastor. I think they should stand up here and say, stay faithful. But sometimes I look at them and be like, oh, you're so far down the road, so far away. You're 85, which is great. And I'm glad for that. But the decisions are made here to get there, not made there to get here. Decide what you believe and stick with it. Decide what you believe now to end up there. Last one. Joseph lost his coat but kept his character. Joseph lost his coat. He kept his convictions. Potiphar's wife tried to tempt him. No. Everything he did, the Lord made to prosper. The Lord was with Joseph. In prison, Potiphar had no idea what Joseph was doing. Everything that got done, same thing. Same thing with Potiphar's house and the prison. Last one. He lost his coat, but he kept his connection. He lost his coat, but he kept his connection. Look at chapter 41. Genesis 41, look at verse 37. See what Pharaoh says about Joseph. Maybe you should put your name in here. Maybe this would be something I should put my name in here. Be like, is this what would be said if Pharaoh were to say something? Genesis 41, look at verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. What did Joseph do? He interpreted a dream. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of, capital S, Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so what? Discreet and wise. Man, could that be said about us? The Lord was with so-and-so. The Lord was with so-and-so. The Lord did all that so-and-so made to prosper. And then the world looks at the Christian and says, there is none so wise and discreet as you. Wouldn't that be interesting if your boss came into work and said that about you? Wouldn't that be amazing if somebody higher up looked at you and said, wow, he's a Christian, I can tell. He's got some character. He's got some things that he believes. Maybe I don't believe him. Maybe your boss doesn't believe him, but it's convincing. Character, convictions, and a connection. Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39:3, and the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39:21, and the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39:23, and the Lord was with Joseph. Though in prison, Joseph still had his relationship with God. Fellowship and communication. Why was the Lord with Joseph? Because Joseph was with the Lord. I thought about that and I was like, wow, that's real deep. Why was God with Joseph? Because Joseph spent time with God. When Pharaoh needed a man, Joseph was the one to do it. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8. We'll finish here. Matthew, Mark. Got about 5 minutes left and I'll be done. Mark chapter 8. Here's the question. Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. He lost his coat, but he kept his convictions, what he believed. He lost his coat, he kept his connection with God. Here's the question. Read Mark. Let's read Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Here we go. Let's all read it together. Ready? 3, 2, 1. For what shall it profit a man? Look at the next verse. Ready? Begin. Or, what are you willing to exchange for your character, your convictions, and your connection with God? That's the message today. What are you willing to exchange for the character that you have, whether it's great, whether it's little? What are you willing to exchange for the beliefs that have been passed down to you, that have been passed down to me? I'm not standing up here saying anything. I'm just saying it's been passed to you. It's been passed to me. It's been passed to everybody. And is there something in the world that I'm willing to trade that for? And the question is this. You have to think to yourself, what does it profit you if you were to gain whatever you wanted? In exchange, lose your own soul. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus poses the question, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a good thought to think about. Because every single one of us, I don't know who said it, but somebody said every man has a price. Or the king said it. Every man has a price. Joseph was battered with the world. And with circumstances and situation in his own family, outside of his own family, outside of even things he could control. And he was willing to hold to his character, willing to hold to his convictions, willing to hold to his connection with God to bring salvation to a nation. You familiar with the story? Brothers come, brothers leave, all that happens. Long story short, Joseph brings everybody together. What they meant for evil, God meant it for good. Man, I say, is it worth it? I think Joseph was pretty ecstatic that he kept his character, his convictions, and his connection with God. I really am. I really think if he could stand up here today and tell you something, I think that's what he would tell you. He would say, life is tough. Some things you can control, some things you can't. Sometimes you're going to be in the prison. Sometimes you're going to be in the palace. It says, but through it all, you know, as a person looking at myself in the mirror, you know, I guess Joseph would say my character really didn't change. I just tried to be faithful where God put me. He said, the things that I believe, they didn't change. He says, I believe the same things that I want to teach Ephraim and Manasseh, what my parents taught me. He says maybe the most important thing you could draw to that is your connection with God. Because what are you going to exchange for your connection with God? Girlfriend? Boyfriend? Relationship? Money? Apparently, Brother Merlos knows some of you make $30, $35, $40, $45 an hour. I don't know. I was like, who are they? Tell me! Want them to fund my bus route. But your connection with God is important. Maybe you have something in your life right now that you're like, I would trade this worldly possession. I would leave Bible college if I could have this. I would leave the ministry if I could fill in the blank. I've thought that. The devil's real. The devil's working all the time. In fact, he's working overtime. These thoughts cross everybody's mind. Is it worth it? Jesus is worth it. Serving the Lord, he said he didn't have a bad day. We've all had bad days. But what he's saying is Jesus is worth it. No one's saying it's not complicated. No one is saying it's not. No one is saying it's impossible. It's possible. For without me, ye can do nothing. I want to be on the side of Joseph, that when I look and I think of Joseph's life, man, he has character, he had convictions, he had a connection with God, and he finished well. In fact, they took his bones further. Just a thought. What are you willing to exchange for your soul? Hope it made sense. I hope it clicked a little bit. What are you willing to exchange for your spiritual victories? What are you willing to exchange for what God has for you? For what God wants for you? We're so immediate satisfaction driven. I want it now. I want success now. I asked somebody the other day, who determines success? I don't know. God, I guess. God determines success. What is successful? Go through life, have good character. Go through life, have strong convictions. Go through life and keep your connection with God. That is something I don't want to exchange for anything. And that's the decision I'm pushing for you today. I want to preach for a decision, and this is the thought. Don't exchange your character, your convictions, and your connection with God for anything. Anything. You can come down here and use the altar. We're going to pray in just a moment. Decide that in Bible college, you said, whatever it is, November 22nd, 2024, I'm going to decide to not exchange character, convictions, and my connection with God for anything. It may even look good. It may be the Ferrari. No. God wants you to do it. You need to follow through. Where God guides, He provides. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for love, your grace, and mercy. Pray to us a good few moments here during the invitation. We need your presence. Pray that you'd bless the decisions that would be made, that they'd be fruitful and continue